we thank you for 2014. As we come to this final Sunday of this year, God, I pray that as we study your word, that even through the time of hearing this message, reading these words, that we would be reminded, God, of your faithfulness to us. That we would be reminded, Lord, of how you've provided throughout this year. And though there were maybe some tough times, some lean times, some challenging times, Lord, you've carried us to this point. And Lord, you're a faithful God, and we believe that you will continue to do that in the next year. I pray that our eyes would be fixed upon you and you alone. For you know what plans you have for us, God. You know what you want to do in our lives, and you know what you want to do through our lives. And so we would pray that as we spend time in your word this morning, I pray, God, these words would come off the pages and into our hearts to be lived out, Lord. Because sometimes when we read your word, it's difficult. Sometimes when we read the things that happened in the Bible and we look at the world that we live in, we have a hard time connecting the two. But God, we pray that you would equip your saints this morning with boldness, with authority, and with confidence. Bless now this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The results of loving God. If you think about your life and where you've come from and who you are today, would you say most of what you are today is a result of loving the Lord, of committing your life to him? See, when I was a child growing up, I was one of those, and I don't say this in a prideful way in any way, I was just one of those obedient kids. If mom and dad told me to do something, I just did it. If they said stop doing something, I stopped doing it. See, some would say I just never got caught. But really, when they told me to do something, I just generally came natural to me to obey. I was the oldest. I was the oldest even in my cousins. So maybe I didn't have anybody to learn bad habits from. I don't know. My brother, the absolute opposite. See, for my brother, if you told him to do something, he'd question it. He wanted to know why. Why right now? And if there was any negotiation process that could be, entered into to negotiate the terms of the requirement. That was kind of my brother's way of thinking. But not for me. I just kind of did things as I was told. If my mother told me to clean my room, whether I wanted to or not, I would clean my room. If my father told me to rake the leaves in the yard or shovel the snow in the driveway, I would just do it. It was not a problem. You see, my parents had a very efficient way of having their dishes cleaned. And that dishwasher was named Rob and Tim. One would wash, one would dry. One would wash, the other would dry and complain. That would be my brother. Any task my brother ever did, rest his soul, was one that came with such anxiety, came with such frustration. Why do we have to do this? I don't understand. I mean, many times I would remember raking leaves with him or shoveling snow with him as a little kid. And finally, I would just tell him, could you go into the house? You're annoying me to no end. You ever have anybody like that in your life? Someone that just annoys you to no end? It was just easier for me to rake the leaves or shovel the snow in peace without my brother than to have him there helping me, because he was really no help. So as you can see, my brother and I were completely opposites growing up. And honestly, I wasn't that fond of my brother for many, many years. If you know my history, you know what's going on here. You know what's happened. See, my brother grew up in a way that I didn't approve of his choices. I didn't approve of his actions. And when I saw how much he hurt my mom and dad because of drug abuse and the lifestyle that he chose, it just gave me a hard heart. I had a hard heart towards my brother. But something happened to me. Not to him immediately. Something happened to me. In 1993, at an Easter service, I gave my life to the Lord and I got saved. And in a very short period of time, God began to work on my heart towards my brother. Did I love him? Sure, he loved him. He was my brother. Did I like him? No, I didn't like him very much because of the things that he did. But what God was doing in me after I got saved was softening my heart towards my brother, because I came to the realization, the very strong realization, that God loved my brother as much as he loved me. No matter what. No matter what my brother did, no matter the choices he made, no matter the way he lived his life, God still loved him. And I learned early, because it was in 1993 I got saved, and my brother got saved in 1995 at a Christmas service in Florida with us. And so God moved in my heart so much so to invite him to come down to spend the Christmas with us, with my parents, and God saved him. God reached into his heart and saved him. And so we can see the results of loving God allows us to impact the lives of others. It changes our hearts towards them, but then God can do a supernatural work and transform them. And so I say this to share the story, to say, listen, I know there's people in your life, there's people in my life that I struggle with loving, that I struggle with really doing what God tells us to do in his word. But I find that if we submit to the love of God and submit to the ways of God, ultimately, God's going to get the glory. My brother got saved. He lost his life to cancer, but I'm confident to this day he's in heaven with the Lord, and one day I will see him again. And I look forward to that day. I'm thankful there are no leaves or snow in heaven. So there'll be no raking or no shoveling. But maybe you have a family member, or maybe there's a coworker, or maybe there's a neighbor that just... See, as we've been going through this epistle of John, 1 John, he's been showing us what? Love others, right? Because you love God, love others. Well, he's going to kind of continue that theme for us. See, the results of loving God means God can reach and touch the life of another. If you will just back up two verses from 1 John chapter 5 to the last two verses of 1 John chapter 4, the last thought that John had really is a continuation in through the first part of chapter 5. So I want to, as a context, read that. Verse 20 of chapter 4 says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." And obviously from what the story I just shared, that is a very personal verse to me. Must love his brother also. It's not a choice for us. It's something we must do. It's who we must be as Christians, is lovers of others. Again, you don't accept their ways. You don't accept their choices. You don't necessarily have to have a relationship with them, but there is an idea of loving them because they're family. And I know for some of us, when we think of family, sometimes we go, "Ugh, I don't know that I love my family. I don't know if I like my family." Some people are not here at church probably because they had family for Christmas. But there's a real genuine sense of we need to love them. And what we mean love, we mean to care for them, to be there for them. See, someone who really, really loves God will love all of God's kids. That's the perspective that we must have in the body of Christ. And may we never have that thought of not being loved by someone else, or someone looking at our life in a certain way because of the choices that we've made or our history. We need not worry about what other people think. And I hope you don't spend a lot of time doing that. Because people who spend a lot of time thinking about what others are thinking about them are consumed. I mean, you're not gonna. Not everybody's going to love you. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to say nice things about you. That's why you want to find people that do like you and hang around them more. That's the encouraging part. But perhaps in these two verses, again, if anyone says he loves God and doesn't love his brother, he calls God a liar. Okay? he's a liar. You can't say you love God and not love others. And if you love God and if you keep his commandments, then you must love your brother also. So the question in John's mind, and maybe the question in your mind, well, who's my brother? Who is this person that I'm to consider as my brother? How do we know? You know, just because you tell me you're a Christian doesn't automatically, okay, then I must love you. We got to know who our brother is. And that's probably what's going on in John's mind. Maybe it went on in your mind. And so John answers that question in the first five verses, six verses of, or first five verses of chapter 5. Look at the first verse. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There's the answer. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. So how do we know who the brother is? How do we know who that sister of ours is? Those who believe that Jesus is the Christ. And John isn't just saying this flippantly. John is choosing his words carefully. He that believes that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is the Son of God. We'll see that later in these verses. They have to believe in their heart. But brothers and sisters, it takes more than just belief, doesn't it? It takes more than just believing Jesus existed. It takes even more believing that Jesus is the Messiah. You have to believe in him and put your trust in him. Commit your life to him. And so John tells us very powerfully, very clearly, that the person who believes is the one that you must love. And whoever believes in their heart. Keep your place in 1 John. We're going to come back. Jump over to Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Because Jesus dealt with this in his day as well. Those questioning who they're to love, questioning who to be involved with in their lives. And Jesus does a very good job of dealing about this with us. Luke 10, verse 25. Jesus is dealing with a lawyer, and he says in verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your brother as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went on to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of those three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The parable of the Good Samaritan. It's an interesting story and one we don't need to go into in much detail, but it shows us and illustrates to us who our neighbor is, and it should also illustrate and show us who our brothers are. Our brothers, our sisters, are those who believe in Jesus Christ. John set the standard. So if we're going to love them, how do we love them? Well, I think Jesus sets that standard here. The way we love people is helping them. The way we help people is finding out what it is that's going on in their life, figuring out if there's some way that you can come alongside them and assist them. This person obviously had physical need. The Samaritan comes and takes care of them, provides for them. See, the thing about loving others isn't just an emotion, it isn't just words, it's actions, right? Actions. Putting our faith into actions. Engaging our faith, if you will, to love on other people. It's something that we must challenge ourselves to do every single day. To be mindful of people around us. I'm so tired of being so busy that I miss opportunities that God has for me. Ever identify with that? It's like, we've got so much that we're doing, so much that we're... Life is going by so quickly. I am knocking on the door of 50 years old in 2015. My mind and my heart are having a hard time justifying that. 50 years old? Old people are 50. Apologize to all the 50-year-olds in here. Apologize. But that's where... It's like, I never thought it would be that big a deal, but as my wife and I talked this Christmas, like, we're going to be 50. Gosh, I hope we're only halfway there. 50 years old. And I want to speak to the young generation. And someone said to said this to me early on in my ministry, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Because if we try to live the journey too fast, we're going to miss the journey. If we try to do too many things in a small period, we're going to miss the opportunities that are there. One Christmas, my wife taught the ladies to make memories. Have memories, have traditions, set things that are unique for you and your family. Take the time to slow down time if you can, because it goes by so quickly. So, looking for opportunities to love other people. Certainly be praying for them. But, you know, encouraging cards are always good. Certainly FaceTime. I call it FaceTime, one-on-one, in the flesh, you know, not through a tablet. FaceTime with people. Find out what makes them tick. Find out what's going on in their life. Because if we just, how are you today? Good. How are you today? Good. I'm good. We're all good. We're all good. But if we begin to pull the layers back, what do we find? Struggling, difficult, depressed, discouraged. This person, he says in verse 37, he said, he who showed mercy on him. Don't we love to receive mercy? Don't we love to receive that mercy from God? Or to receive that mercy from others? We need to bestow that mercy to others, to be those that are the brothers and sisters. And if we go back to 1 John chapter 5, that's the very same thing we're seeing here. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. He's your brother. He's the one they need to be looking for. He's the one you need to be paying attention to. That doesn't mean ignore the world, but it means first and foremost, love those within the body of Christ. Love those who love God. Care for those who love God. Because why? We're family. Do you feel like a family? You feel like there are people in the fellowship that you are connected to, that you love spending time with, that you love having over to the house and share a meal with, and find out what's going on in their lives? It's that family, understanding what's going on. Where are the days where family always was around each other? Right? Are those days gone? I mean, I know there's some people in our fellowship that have close family around and they spend family time a lot together. And I remember that growing up, but then I moved away. I moved away, my brother moved away, and it's like it seems like that's what everybody's families are just everywhere. And so we have to travel to this family on Thanksgiving, we have to travel to this family on Christmas, and we're constantly traveling. There's not constant family time. So what do we have to do? We have to realize that God has given us a family and spend time with that family. Because that's what helps us work together. That's what helps us share what's going on in our lives and be open and honest. Are you having a tough time? Are you struggling? When someone asks you how you're doing, tell them the truth. You've heard me say this many times. Speak from truth. Speak from the heart. Otherwise, how can we help? How can we help? And again, it goes on than just believing in Jesus. There's a true, genuine trust in the Lord. Do you have a true, genuine trust in Christ that he will meet your needs, that he'll be there every moment of every day? See, it says in James 2:19, it'll be overhead. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. So it takes more than just intellect. It takes more than just knowing that Jesus exists. It says accepting him into your heart, accepting him into your life, and inviting him into every area of your life. Think about that for a moment. Does Jesus have authority over your thoughts? Have you invited him into your thoughts? Is Jesus invited into your heart, the things that make you tick, your desires? Is he invited into your relationships? Is he invited into your finances? Whoa, finances. Is he invited into every area? Are you trusting him with every single dollar? Are you trusting him with every single emotion? Are you trusting him with every single thought in your life? That's trusting in him. And that's finding yourself at a place of desperation, so saying, Lord, please come. Please come into my heart. Believe means you trust him. So look at verse 1 again. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. This is a test. When we love God and keep his commandments, following his word. And that's the thing I love about John. He keeps bringing it back to his word says to love your neighbor. And if you love God, you keep his commandments, and if you're doing his commandments, because it says love your neighbor, then you will love your neighbor, because you're keeping those commandments. It's a cycle. I love it. Look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I love this. What John is saying here is not, listen, Christian, the Bible is filled with commands, it's filled with commandments, it's filled with direction, it's filled with instruction, and it's really easy. That's not what he's saying. He's saying is those who love God and want to be obedient to him will read his word, understand what he wants, and know it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to do it because I love the Lord. You understand? As a parent, do I have to tell you that there is a law in almost every city of this country that says you have to take good care of your children or you go to jail? If you're a parent, if I have to have a law to tell you to be a good parent, that's silly, isn't it? In other words, that law exists for those that don't do it right, but that law is not burdensome for those who what? Who love their kids. If you love your kids and want to care for your kids, that law is not burdensome to you, is it? No. But if we realize that the commandments of God are good for us and are best for us and will bring obedience to us and will please our Heavenly Father, though they may be tough to keep, they're not going to be burdensome like weighing us down because we want to please God. The great news is he doesn't tell us to keep his commandments without any help. He's there with us. He's there with us to help us be obedient. His commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I love that. Take my yoke, take my burden, take the thing that fits on my shoulder and learn from me. Learn from my life, how I lived. Did Jesus ever seem to be frazzled? Did Jesus ever seem to be overwhelmed? Did Jesus ever seem to be out of control? No. So he's saying, learn from me. Hey, we're going to get frazzled. We're going to get out of control. But we're going to immediately remind, that's not how we act godly. We have to trust. Again, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Don't you find that interesting? Put a yoke around. You know what a yoke is, right? Big piece of wood that ties two animals together so that they can do a job, so they can work together to do a job. Well, Jesus is saying, with the Lord, take this yoke, you and I, together we're going to do this. And you're going to find rest in it. You're going to find rest. And when you're doing that thing that God wants you to do, when you're in the midst of that with his help, man, you're going to find rest even though you're working. The only way we're truly going to find rest in the midst of serving the Lord, in the midst of doing what God calls us to do, is knowing that we're doing exactly what he wants us to do. Having that confidence that you've called me to this, Lord, and I'm going to do it till the day I die. And you're going to help me get there. One of the songs we sang, there was a verse in there, I wish I had written it down. But it said, you take my, I think it was something like, you take my failures and turn them into successes or something. You take my failures and turn them into blessings. What is it?
Victories.
Boy, did that speak to me. With God's help, our failures, our efforts can be turned to victories. Guys, take my yoke. It's easy. My burden, it's light. Are you feeling weighed down? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling like you just can't push through? Then maybe you're carrying a yoke you shouldn't be carrying. Maybe you're trying to do something you shouldn't be. And this is not kind of this, okay, well, if you're overworked, then just stop. No. If you're called to it, then he'll equip you to it. But if you're not called to it, you will wear out. You will burn out. The effects, the results of loving God mean we are equipped for the purposes to do what he says to do in his word. If you walk with him, because I was going to try and do this, but I didn't have time to find a piece of wood that I could carry on me and someone else's shoulders. But if we are carrying, if there are two people here and we're carrying a yoke or we have a yoke on our shoulders and I want to go this way and they want to go that way, you know how hard that is? But if we both go in the same direction, then the job is easy, right? If we're fighting the Lord, if we're trying to go against what God has for us, then it is going to be a burden. But his yoke, his direction, his load is easy if we go in the direction he wants us to go. So how do we do all this? John's telling us, he's laying it out. You're going to know your brothers by those who love God, who believe that Jesus is the Christ. You're going to know that. And then you're going to know that you follow his commandments, and his commandments aren't burdensome. If his commandments are burdensome, then listen, you don't want to follow them. You don't want to obey them. Because the only time a law is difficult for us is when we get caught with it, right? I mean, if you're one of these people that likes to drive down the highway a little bit over the speed limit, like 10 miles an hour, over the speed limit, no problem. It's a problem when you get pulled over, though, isn't it? You know, it's like always have my Bible in my truck so that when I'm speeding, I can put my hand on the Bible and say, Lord, please don't have any cops on this road. Silly. Drive the speed limit, you don't have to worry about it. Those who break the law are worried about it. Those who don't break the law are not worried about it. But the final thing that we need as believers, John tells us, look at verse 4. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Or really, that word could be your faith. I don't know, some translations may say that. Verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? How do we do all this? John doesn't just leave us there. He says, listen, guys, it's our faith. It's our faith in a greater, I don't like calling it a greater power, but it's a greater power, God's greater power in our lives. It's our faith in him. When you come up to a roadblock in your life or a difficulty in your life, it's when you engage your faith and go, all right, I'm going to exercise my faith here and believe that God's going to get me through it. That's what helps us overcome the world. The world we live in is, it's not easy to live in, is it, as a Christian? I mean, the moral decay in our country, in our world, it's all over the place. It's in our faces as Christians. It's a battle that we need to deal with, but we're not going to fight it with fists. We're going to fight it with our faith. Believing, God, you see what's going on. You see what's in control. We're the agents of light. We're going to bring that truth. We're going to speak truth when we need to. We don't have to pick it. We just need to speak truth to people. Share the truth with people, and moral decay will go away. We live in a world of self-gratification. People want to do what they want to do. excuse me. These are the challenges that we have in this world. And John's saying, you need to overcome that. You need to overcome the world. Because what's the world say? Don't love anybody. Love yourself. Get everything you got to get out of life for yourself. John says, no, no. You overcome that by loving others. And then we live in a world of unsocial social media. Did you hear what I said? Unsocial social media. Inundated by stuff. Have you ever been anywhere with someone? Maybe your phone is in your pocket and it starts vibrating. Or if you're one of those people that doesn't turn it on, vibrate, it's ringing. How distracted are you from that? Or if you're in a place, maybe even by yourself, how difficult is it for you not to pick up your phone or your tablet to check your texts or check your emails or check what's going on Instagram or Twitter? Do you understand how distracted we're all being by all this stuff? You go into an airport, you go into a restaurant. I've seen people, four people at a table in a restaurant, all sitting on their phones, not even talking to each other. That's family time. These things are pulling at us. These things are pulling us away. And if we're going to overcome this tendency, because I'm afraid that this tendency is going to continue and it's going to get worse. That we don't have this one-on-one time with each other, that it's constantly through a text, it's constantly through some type of media or checking people's Instagrams and what their pictures and, hey, I love all your Christmas trees. They're beautiful. But I'd like to see it in person. See what I'm saying? So we have to fight this world that's pulling us in a certain direction. Christians aren't immune from this stuff, right? Hey, we have GodTube. Okay, cool. Good, we got GodTube. Don't spend too much time on GodTube. Spend time with people. Exercise your faith. This is going to be a choice for you to find times to not get on your phone, to not use your to find those times where it's going to be human time. Let's say, I don't know, maybe we'll come up with human media. Let's call it human media. Get in front of time with people. Just last night, we had a couple over at our house last night for ham sandwiches. Wasn't fancy, but we had time just to chat with them, catch up with them. These are the things we need to be doing. These are the things we need to be spending time with. And I'm preaching to the choir right now. Husband and wife. What do you say we try for 2015? Making our bedrooms a no-phone zone. No laptops. No tablets. Bring your Bible if you want. Spend time with your spouse. I've been there. I've texted my wife sitting next to me in my bed. It's pathetic. She's texted me. And I go, really? You're texting me right now. I mean, why? Because it's there. We're on it. And it's like, that's got our attention. We need to set these things down. We need to realize that if we're going to love God, we have to be present. We have to be present. And that's what I'm kind of the thrust of. Be present. When John says, love those who love Jesus. There's nothing wrong with texting. There's nothing wrong with, but that's not the only medium. Let's make sure we're doing this thing together, doing life together so that we understand what's going on. It's easy for me to be whoever I want to be behind a text. With all the smileys and all the thumbs up and all the okays. I'm good. And I'm just, maybe I'm crying on the other side. You don't know. I'm a man. I don't cry, right? Let's be present this year. I want to close with this. I've been praying for a man in Kenya. This man has got my heart. His name is Daniel. In January of this year, he was diagnosed with leukemia. And actually, God healed him from it. And what was it, back in September, he's now has leukemia again. He's in a hospital in India. He's had a bone marrow transplant from his sister, which is only a half match. And he's on his, 18th, 19th day of the process, and nothing's changing. And it's like, I love this man's faith. And want to talk about overcoming the world? When the world beats you up, when the world, you know, when leukemia hits you, and then God heals you, and praise God for that, and then all of a sudden it comes back? This man's going, God, why? Why would you heal me and then allow it to come back? The questions that are going through his mind. And it's real easy to go, is it really worth it? Is it really worth all this? But this man's heart is so sensitive to the Spirit and so sensitive to the Lord that he's able to say, it is worth it if what I'm going through, he has a blog where he has all this written. He goes, if what I'm going through will touch the life of one other person, it's worth it. Talk about faith. How do we overcome the world? Our faith. How is Daniel going to overcome, whether he's healed or not? It's his faith that's going to get him through. And the comments of people going, hold on, we're believing with you, we're praying with you. It's impacting his world, if you will. What is it that you need to engage your faith, that you need to say, my faith needs to kick in right now because I'm losing heart? Maybe God's healed you from something. But what happens in 2015 if it comes back? What happened if a tragedy that happened in your past happens again in 2000? What's going to happen? What are you going to do? Are you going to believe there is no God because God wouldn't allow this? Or are you going to say, God, you're allowing it for a reason? Glory. It's for God's glory. And that's what Daniel writes in his little blog. He says, it's all for the glory of God. Wow. That increases my faith. And I write to this man and I say, you've touched this person. You've impacted my heart. Perhaps you need to start seeing others from God's perspective. That's what happened to me when it came to my brother. I got saved and I began to see my brother through God's eyes. And look what God did. Let's believe that the results of loving God are eternal. And let's be present in people's lives. Father, we thank you for your word. We are so grateful, God, that you have given us your word to read, your Spirit to be sensitive to, prayer to just lift our hearts to you. God, I would pray that we would not allow the world to reach into us too deeply, to affect us, Lord. There's the times that we live in are very sensitive. We do believe that you're going to return soon, but Lord, there's things that we can be doing today to make a difference. Maybe just in our own homes, maybe just in our own hearts. But I pray that we would have the desire to be present, to not be consumed with things that are wasteful. And again, some of these things are good. Social media can be good to connect with people that we're not with all the time. But let us keep it in check. Let us keep it in balance. Lord, we thank you that because you loved us, we love you. And because we love you, we're able to touch the lives of others. I pray as this year ends, we would continue to be thankful. And as this new year starts, that we would be excited about what you have in store. We love you, Lord. Bless us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.